Hello, Milan. What's up?
Hello, what's up, man? How's it going?
All good. How's it going?
It's been going good.
Cool.
Okay.
So, welcome, everyone. Welcome to Thinking Out Aloud. This is our third podcast. And today we'll be talking about the red pill versus the blue pill. We'll be joining shortly with Shubham, who's one of our good friends, and he'll also give his views on this topic. So let's wait for him once he joins. So let's start off by hello, hello, hi, Shubham. How are
Hey,
you?
hello. Good, doing good.
So I was
You
just telling everyone about the topic that we have today, and just so tell us your views on the topic, the red pill versus the blue pill, and what do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so like free will, I mean, generally people do take for granted like these things. Like, you would all, obviously, we have free will, like, we can deliberate over stuff. We can choose to do something other than something else. So people feel like free will is something that does obviously exist. So taking the red pill on free will mean that you actually see through it, that you can kind of gauge that free will is actually an illusion. It's not actually present. It feels like you can deliberate over something and choose to do something, but it's actually not there. So yeah, so the blue pill version is basically what you could say in today's cultural terms, normie version. That yeah, you do have free will and you can decide what to do. And there's no other, like, there's no im nothing impeding you in making decisions. And yeah, I think that's just a general overview. We can start, yeah, a
Yeah,
further
that
discussion.
definitely we'll look into it once we
Yeah.
talk about it more. So guys, today what we're gonna do is we're just gonna talk about, we have a few questions lined up with each of us, and we'll discuss about all these questions. So Milind, what is your view, a very brief view about free will or the red pill or the blue pill or whatever you want to think about for this topic? What do you have?
Okay, so when the idea of free will comes into the question, it's like, does free will actually exist? Because when it comes to determinism, it's like everything has a cause and effect relationship. It's like there must be some preceding cause that necessitated an event, right? It's not like, it's just like even random events have some cause. Like they If you trace it back to the beginning of time, every single event must have some cause, right? So the question really is, does free will exist? Because now, there you might argue with the compatibilist idea
That's the
that.
first question. That does free will exist, or you're just, thinking out aloud, or what?
Yeah, actually. So you have different ideas about free will, right? Like, there's determinism, which completely argues that there's nothing like free will. But then you have this compatibilism theory, wherein they said, so long as you want to do is not impeded by some external constraint or some external factor, and it is completely determined by your internal factors, that might be considered as free will. But again, the real problem with that is the ability to do whatever you want can hardly be called freedom, right? If you can't freely choose what it is that you actually want, because again, you are being compelled by your internal self. So really, is it still free? Like, that is my problem with it. Like, is it still free if you're compelled by your internal sense of responsibility to do whatever you want to do? Again,
So I hope that you
really
have constructed your questions just according to these things that we'll discuss about.
yeah.
Going forward, I think just before starting off, I'll give my views on it, and then we can start off with your questions. So for me, I mean, first of all, free will is something, and determinism and everything felt like a big new word, and something that was very new to me and compelled me to think too much about it, thinking that is something like this even possible? Why is it not just like one thing? And do we have to have this philosophy of two different things, that something, everything is interconnected or nothing is? And there are a lot of things that I came into my mind while I was thinking about free will, or to take the red pill or the blue pill. Or is this actually an option, or is just that we don't take any pill, or is that also free will? So it's a redundant question that keeps on coming. For me, I'm just like a newbie. I just want to learn whatever you guys think, and maybe I have few views. I have two theories. I have formulated two theories which I will like to share with you guys. Once we come to my questions. But yeah, let's without a further ado, we can start off. Guys, whoever is listening, you can check our podcast on Spotify, Google Podcasts. We are everywhere right now. I think we are using Anchor to distribute our podcast everywhere. And do give us feedback if you find something good or bad. Check us out on Twitter and Instagram. Cool, let's start. Milind, what is your first question?
Okay, so people argue that we don't have free will, right? So does not having free will mean that there's no idea of rationality, like rationality doesn't exist, or it also invalidates the idea of creativity, simple things like creativity? So if you don't have any free will, then creativity ultimately is an illusion. And does it also mean that you don't have the ability to love, and even that is something that's predetermined? And if you don't actually have free will and it's something that's already determined, then where does the idea of personal culpability come from? As in, when you're doing something wrong, you must have had some sort of free will or responsibility until it led you to it, right? So
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah.
we can't hold everyone culpable if we don't have free will, right? Because it must have been something that caused them to do something wrong. So, yeah, if we invalidate free will, does these ideas do not exist at all? So, yeah, that's where my dilemma lies. So, what do you guys think about it?
Shubham, you want to start?
So, okay. Yeah, so you basically reached a question which, when you really think about it, you do end up on this sort of a question, like, if free will isn't there, then what does it mean to do something good, or what does it mean to do something bad? Should something like this come up? Like, why is some sort of a reaction considered, in quotes, good, or in quotes, bad? So yeah, what happens is, in this framing, yeah, generally some nihilistic thoughts come in. People say that, yeah, actually nothing is good or nothing is bad. Everything just is. It is there. So to your point of personal culpability, or like if someone has done something which we consider as a society bad, should he be punished, he or she be punished or not? So what we do is, what we assume is, Sam Harris, there's a guy who talks about this at length. So he's generally espouses the idea that we have some sort of a feeling about what the body feels as good or bad, or preferable and not preferable. So someone hitting you is considered not preferable to your body. So you would actually try to avoid someone trying to hit you. So, taking this sense, what you can say is, what you basically can say is that, yes, people do not want to be hit. So we would actually want a society with people who say do not have free will for the time being, not trying to hit everyone else. So what we do is, we create systems such as the justice system, which puts away bad people. So what happens is that you can consider a human system to be an open system. So it's not a closed system that whatever it's initially learned, that's it. It can't learn anything else. So what happens is that, obviously, that's true. So in a society, if we show to an open system, which is a human, Look, if someone does something like trying to hit someone or be violent, we will take this person and, let's say, very simplistically, we will put them away. We will like lock him out of society. So what happens when we show this to an open system, a human? They would actually, it would rewire the brain to start acting in terms of, let's at least not hit people. So this is just an opening statement. Let's see. I could go on about this, but yeah, let's see what Meng has to say.
For me, I think you took that part of the topic where what he wanted to talk about Milan. What I got out of the question was creativity and love, which is something that everyone feels like they have their own right to it, and something that they produce from within, and they had a free will to do that instead of it was predetermined or already there was something. But what I think is for creativity. You can be a very creative person, but every time, whatever you think creatively is also something that came to you through the past experiences that you had. And that was already there in your environment from childhood or whenever. And there are people who take creative inspirations as well. And that is why you had that creativity. That I, for me, I think at least that is what there is. So, how you were. What your surroundings were, what your environment was, heavily, is on the is the reason why you are creative. And coming to love, I think you love something. I don't think so. It's predetermined. It is something that you have from within. But again, sometimes what I feel personally is that you get to know that there is a connection. It can be a friend also, it can be someone you like, you have a crush on, whatever. But you get that feeling in sometimes in an instant, you get to know that this person is okay, that's someone that I can connect to, someone I can gel with. And sometimes it takes a lot of time because of your mind to get to that point. But I feel it's somewhere or the other determined by the external forces. And the only small free will is to find to choose that you want to do it or not. I think that is all.
So exactly. You mean to say that it was all preconceived somewhere, right? However, there were some external factors or some internal factors at play, but it was again determined or predestined to be the way it was. So then the argument, then free will doesn't exist at all. So
Yeah, Milan, just one point. Yeah, to the I think I didn't I stayed some points on that which Meng was speaking about. So yeah, on creativity and love, all these things, I just feel that again, creativity comes out of obviously your mind, and you can only have some sort of like you can only have so much intelligence. You can only have some limited amount of cognitive ability, mental resources, whatever you want to call it. So yeah, creativity actually is again bounded by the fact that what kind of mind you have, and again, then obviously the environment,
Yes, exactly.
how it shapes the brain to. So that's why again, the point comes that society, what society does to solve the problem. So what they generally try to do. And again, the main point is it's an open system that actually gives you a lot of leeway to let's fudge the reality that is you don't have free will. So what you do is you create a society where people want to be creative and want to, or at least try to maximize whatever creativity they have. So what you would actually want is you try to create a society where people are incentivized to actually, try to maximize whatever creativity they have, because there can be, and obviously there are ways to de-incentivize. That means you don't want to be creative, you want to be always stuck in whatever place you are, and you don't want to do anything else. So yeah, I think society and tries to fix a problem of not having free will.
But yeah, my argument is it's there's a cause and effect relationship again, right? Because it's all a part of the physical world, and the physical world as we know it's determined. So
But the thing is, an open system doesn't know what would happen. The thing is that it's like you go and watch a movie, right? You know the movie has an end, right? You know that the movie will end, and maybe you want some character to do, you want some character to do some sort of thing which you felt that in the movie was not so suitable. So, but the thing is, you know it has a storyline and it's fixed, and it doesn't matter what I feel about it. But it will have an end. It will take the course, whatever, however the film was made. But you still go see it, right? You don't say that, hey, the film is already made and it already has a storyline. So what's the point of me actually going and seeing it? So yeah, that's the main point about that.
So the problem here is we still that don't have control over it, right? So how can we say that it's free will? We still don't have any control over it.
Yeah, well, we don't have control over it.
Then
But the
that's
thing
not free
is,
will if you don't.
it's not free will, obviously. Obviously, I'm just saying again that it's an open system. Hence, you don't know the peak of enjoyment you can achieve in life or the lows of life. So, what you want to do? I know I'm speaking in active. In an active form, like you want to do, even though there's not any free will. But I'm just saying that our brains should be incentivized to be in environments where you can attain, let's say, the peaks of well-being, whatever well-being is. Brains should be incentivized to try to reach the peaks of well-being. And obviously, we don't know whether we'll reach it or not. That's the, let's say, joy of life, even though there's no free will. But yeah, it's an open system, so we are constantly getting different kinds of inputs. Our brain is basically a neural network, so you get different kinds of inputs, and your brain rewires the neural circuitry to do different sort of things. So yeah, I think that's the main point.
We can move on to the next question then.
So yeah, again, going along the lines of not having free will. So does not having free will really validate the ideas of Calvinism and his theory about predestination and that salvation is ultimate and man is ultimately helpless to achieve salvation of his own free will and it's predetermined for him? And going again about Calvinism, it's like unconditional election, right? So the choice of it's about the choice, right? Man doesn't have a choice. God unconditionally elected who to save or who not to save. And even like when we talk about irresistible grace, so you can't reject it of your free will. It will come to you no matter what. And if God's strong enough to save you, he is capable of never letting you stray away from him, right? So all these ideas that Calvinism states, can these ra radical ideas be validated if we say we don't have free will? So yeah, my question is about that.
Mank, you want to take that first?
I'm still
Yeah, I mean it was a pretty
question. Yeah,
I don't think so.
long-winded.
It was a question. It was a paragraph. That is what I thought.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
still processing it a lot. So yeah, but I heard the big G word, the God, and
Yeah,
uh-oh.
and I have few theories about that. But yeah, but generally, what I want to think about is that when we are thinking about God and if he has or she has predetermined our lives or everybody's life, and then we question that if actually at the end there's no free will and we are compelled to kind of take the blue pill, thinking that yes, that is the how the scenario is. What I feel is that it's very important to know what you're thinking, and you have to be aware within yourself. And once you do that, then this conversation will make sense to whoever is listening, because then they'll think that why what I'm doing, even an action of clicking on this podcast, was it a free will, or was it itself determined from their past experiences that they were gonna click on this, or they were gonna believe in some religion or not believe in some religion? Whatever decision they made, was it free or not? And that is something that personally affects everyone, and it affects it kind of is wrong sometimes to think that to question yourself that what I'm doing is correct or not, or is it always like this and it is as is, then what will happen? I don't know if I could answer the question, but that is what I felt about how God can be taken into this context. Shubham, you have any idea or any, thoughts on that?
So what I've tried to just wrap my mind around how
It's a gray area.
the big
Yeah.
word, the God and free will can be reconciled or can be put together, but I just see no way of how it could be a little controversial that actually free
Yeah.
negating free will is actually a bit of a sensitive subject when it comes to some of the religious communities. So that's what happens. But like, if you say you don't have free will, instantly you're kind of negating some of the religion effects, because
Yeah, and
religion hinges the fact that people have free will and they make they have self-agency. They
with
have
the concept
agency.
of deed and sin that comes in every religion, you do
Yeah,
something,
exactly.
you do the deed, it's a deed, and if you don't, then it's a sin. I mean, yeah, just wanted to add that. You can go on, sorry.
Basically it hinges on the fact that the people, conscious beings, have agency to make one choice or the other, and the religion has set a moral standard for these actions are bad, these actions are good, and you can choose, and a person has the ability to choose the good or the bad, and if it's bad, hell for him, it's good, heaven for him. Well, very simplistic. I'm just trying to not go into too much detail, but yeah, free will, not having free will basically negates all of these facts. So I just find no way to reconcile both of these.
But the thing is, there's a contradiction, right? Because sometimes religion also says that there's predestination, like people are predestined to do these things. Yeah,
The
I think it
decided
depends
as
on
well,
which
yeah.
religion are we talking about.
Like, there are conflicting ideas in different religions as well, is my
Yeah.
real problem with it. So,
Actually, one of the more, let's say, controversial thoughts I would have is that actually holding contradictions is actually a good thing. But yeah, that's a different topic. But yeah, go on.
it's like you cannot escape your fate, like even if you have free will, if a religion says so, right? So they're saying that, oh, you can choose your own God. But again, does that give you free will? Like, ultimately, they're saying, no, you were predestined to be a person of this religion, or like you were always supposed to be like this. So, yeah, there's a gray area again with this whole idea.
Actually, I get that. I just do like give a very biological view of why I feel that free will doesn't exist, because let's just take it like you have a brain, and let's just say brain makes all the decisions. That assumption I think both of you will grant. If the brain takes an input, let's say sensory inputs, which we have. We have eyes, we have all the five
And
senses,
these
which
inputs are a
includes
part of
smell.
the physical world.
Exactly. So the inputs are basically, if I think people know neural networks now. So you put inputs through a neural network and you'll get one result. Like it's if the neural network hasn't adjusted, if you send one input, you will get one result. And if you keep sending the same input, you'll always get the same result, right? So it's the same with the brain in that sense that the brain takes in the input and gives an output. Where does free will exactly come into the picture, right? So I can't really see free will coming into the picture in this kind of setting. Now, people talk about quantum physics. They say that consciousness is basically, this is a term which people like, non-local. There's a term, there's a
Yep.
terminology in quantum physics, non-locality. So they say that consciousness is actually embedded into the universe. So it has some kind of a, if you would want to call it, supernatural kind of a touch to it. But yeah, they say consciousness is actually embedded into the universe, and we, that's why we can actually sense things. We can actually feel, let's say, pain, or we can feel joy, we can feel pleasure. Because if it was just a neural network, people say that if it's just a neural network in your brain, why are you actually experiencing all of it? Like, if there's a robot and you have put a neural network into a robot to do stuff, if I say hit a robot, the robot w won't like get sad. It would just try to avoid me, but it wouldn't have some sort of a negative reaction to me. Like, do you get that point?
I
Right?
understand
Because
that.
yeah, because we feel like if I try to hit someone, he will have a negative view of me, that why was he trying to hit me? I should try to avoid him. Right, so it's like that. We do feel these things, and we do feel pain when if someone say hits you. So how does all of these things come in? So they say that consciousness is something embedded into the universe, which helps us generate free will. So yeah, I'm not sure about the theory, but yeah, that's how some of the people put it in a scientific manner.
We can go to the third question, then let's go.
So moving on. So again, if you thought the previous two questions were outlandish and radical, you would definitely be surprised on the third one. So again, I'll be moving on into the cosmos, and I'll go on and say, so what if we are the 3D projections of higher dimensional beings who control almost everything? So we ourselves do not have any free will, and we are their puppets. So again, talking about that, is free will an ability that we can acquire if we gain access to the higher dimensions? So yeah, what do you think about that?
Just first thought that this reminded me of Pinocchio and the movie Pinocchio.
I got it from Interstellar, so yeah, go ahead.
I think if we have projections of somebody else's thinking, and if we change our mind or we go to the next level, and we have that thought of having free will, first of all, I don't know if somebody has had that. But how does one attain it? That is the first question. And then secondly, people do talk about meditation and becoming aware of your own self and introspecting, and then being at peace. I don't know if free will actually matters if you are thinking at the higher level, where they we are projecting their thoughts, or we aren't. I mean, then the higher power itself can question that if they are free, they have free will, or they are just being determined by the past actions that they have. Are they ever living, or are they not? Are they just there to puppet few people, and
A
determine
few
their
people, they
thinking?
can, like, all of human life are the puppets of higher dimensional beings. I'm saying that we are limited to the human form, but there are higher dimensional beings who are controlling everything. So do they have free access to free will, actually? Are they doing all these actions of their own accord?
They don't.
How do you determine that, if that's something, if that's an, yeah.
I can't even determine if we have it or not. How will I determine if five dimension beings have it or not? But what I think is that the essence of life itself, the essence of knowledge, and if we are three dimensional beings which have whatever limited knowledge we have, five dimensional beings would obviously have a lot of more knowledge. And till how we have thought about this topic, I'm pretty sure even they would have thought about it. And even at that level of understanding, they would also think that it's, is it free will or is it determined? Because I'm doing it for so many years, this timeline of how many hundred years till today has happened, and if they are puppeting us across all these centuries, millennials actually, and do they have free will, or are they also repeating each and everything that is happening anyways, and it, is it deterministic of them to make the same scenarios in different people's life who are living it across different centuries, or is it their free will to give everyone their own scenario and whole new situation to it? And I feel like no, I think a lot of times, as we also say, history repeats itself, scenarios repeats itself, and I feel leaders, even normal folk, everyone, their stories actually are very similar. Across centuries, they have the same pains, same things that are going on. And as Tom said, for the inputs that we have, everyone's having those same inputs. And I think even these higher beings would actually question if they have free will or are they deterministic of something else. Maybe they have seven-dimensional beings also.
But the thing is, as you said about history repeating itself and all those things, the problem with that is time does not behave the same way for them. They don't perceive time as we do. We have the present, we have the past and the future. They have everything. They have access to almost everything. So they look at time in a different sense, right? They, for them, you being born was, it's a constant process. It's happening everywhere because they can see it, right? It's linear for them.
Yeah.
They can see that at every point of time, everything. That, no.
It is linear for us. For them, it's not linear. It's just there.
Yeah, it's just there. They can see it, right? They can see when you were born. They can see what you are right now. They can see what you are in the future. So, really, the concept, bringing in the concept of time when we talk about higher dimensional beings doesn't make sense to me. So, yeah, ultimately, my question boils down to, if we do have access to higher dimensions, does it necessarily mean that we will ever have free will or not? Or even that is determined? Even for the higher dimension, even when we have access to the higher dimensions. So does free will not exist across dimensions as well?
I mean, for me, I believe if we go to that next level, I don't think so. We probably would, because we have to evolve a lot too for that, because I don't think so our brain has that capacity to actually even go to the
fifth dimension. Our physical form doesn't have that capacity. Like, we can't transcend to that, obviously, but yeah, I'm just asking. It's a hypothesis again.
So
what do you think about it?
That a five-dimensional person having that, and if we evolve to that, the thing is that even if we do, it's kind of a thing that where if you have the availability to see across time and see everything that happened, and you have the ability to process it also, then your thoughts that are coming in are also determined on the previous thoughts, all the years that you went through and you processed.
Okay.
So what is the next thing you're going to do is in your subconscious, even if you are a fifth dimensional being, it's still in your subconscious and then comes to your conscious and then you do it.
So you're saying that cause and effect relationships still exist there in those dimensions, right? So it's all determined. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I want to come to that, how is it determined or not? But in this perspective, if you're saying five-dimensional beings, I feel if they would also have the same question, if they are having free will or not. I feel that it's something that transcends dimensions. Even one-dimensional being can have it, and even I think five-dimensional will have it.
Okay.
Yeah, Shubham, what's your thought on this?
Yeah, I'll just say that whatever in dimensions you want to go into, you're still bounded by a physical reality, meaning you're still inside a universe which has some set of rules, and it will follow those rules regardless of you being an n-dimensional being, n greater than 3. So I just feel, I don't see free will coming into the picture even then. So
yeah,
I'm a bit pessimistic.
So we have established that free will doesn't exist. It doesn't exist across time.
For now, yeah. It does look like it.
Nope.
For me, at least. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I still want to, you know, I just want to keep that conversation if we have established or not till the end.
Okay, yeah.
We decide which pill we want to take. Let's be...
Yeah, I mean, the whole discussion now, I'm just assuming that currently we're taking the red pill and then trying to see what the consequences of the red pill
are. We can think that we are taking... Yeah, but I'm still thinking. I want to think.
Yeah, sure. Think away.
Cool.
Yeah.
So we can start off, Shubham, with your questions. And what's your first question? Let's see.
Yeah, so just like I generally have these questions when the first time I actually heard about something like free will can be an illusion. So, when I saw the consequences of what not having a free will be, my question will be like, should the phrase free will is an illusion be propagated as a theory to everyone? Which from what I can see, most people are not interested. That's fine too, but it's not something that most people say out loud, right? They're not saying it like in classes or in school. People generally, I think, refrain from saying such things. Do you feel that this kind of a theory should be propagated en masse?
I still believe that it can, because this free will is an illusion. It's something kind of a belief. We know maybe there are certain times which we can say these are facts, but let's say if it is a belief and something very similar to religion, and there are few schools or even few institutions which imbibe religion with their studies, and there are some that don't, then I think, yes, I think it would be good to at least go into everybody's mind, even at a very younger age, and make them question that whatever they are doing is either because of a reason or not. And then maybe they are aware of what decisions they are making, and it might help in a bigger, in a bigger sense of the whole world, and they would be conscious of what they are doing at least.
Just one point, Mike, just one quick point. What you said about I think generally one point which I receive when I talk about the subject to people, they say that if people started believing that free will is an illusion, they would basically have excuses for doing morally reprehensible behavior, right? Like they would just slap you and say, "Oh, I didn't look. It was just, it wasn't me, right? It was just I didn't have free will, right?" So just wanted to add this point. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, with its I mean, yeah, I mean, I agree that you cannot question and say that every action is because you didn't have any free will. And there is somewhere that there has to be a line, and that is why I said it's a belief and not a fact. Because if it was a fact, that can be, I mean, can be proven. But the thing is, again, I mean, how can you say that whatever you did was just because it was determined already, and you were anyways gonna do it? And I agree with that. So I think, but maybe putting it forward as a very, not a
Just
very,
something to think about, maybe.
Because it's something that you might actually think about as a general thing, not because to get a free ticket out of everything that you're doing, and just saying that, yeah, it was already determined, or my actions were because of something that happened previously, and that's why I'm doing this. I mean, to a sense, it might, if you do a very small thing. For example, you have you had a very toxic relationship with someone, and you say, okay, because maybe this is because my previous relationships were very bad, and because those my previous partners were very toxic with me, I have a very toxic relationship right now because I don't know anything about with except this. And that is fine, but that doesn't mean that you will always have that theory, and maybe you want to, get out of it also. So getting that theory out that free will is an illusion, which should come with its own assumptions and terms and conditions when you're doing that. I feel that if you can pursue that belief, or if you can want to preach that free will is an illusion, then with that you have to put an asterisk and point out few terms and conditions, and then you might have to actually, you can do it as a normal discussion at even younger ages. People can also participate in. What's your thought, Milind, on this?
Yeah, like you said in the end, like even if you are trying to preach about that idea that free will is an illusion, and then you set like terms and restrictions to it, like you cannot completely teach about that idea, like you're still setting some preconditions for it, right? So that idea in itself is not free, right? Again, you set some conditions. So my take on this is, again, if you say that if you plant this idea into the minds of people that free will is an illusion, and you know that ideas are highly contagious. So again, it just brings in that chaos, right? Like, if everyone believes that free will is an illusion, then we won't ever have any moral responsibility or personal culpability. Like, every single human notion that we perceive becomes an illusion because it's all based upon free will. So it will be like, if everyone believes that free will doesn't exist in reality, then what is reality anymore? Like, it will be the end of times for me. So yeah, again, it's again pretty radical, but every single human notion that we know about wouldn't exist if free will doesn't exist. If everyone believes that, every single human believes that. So yeah.
Yeah, so just on the last point, that's why I think, in a sense, some people, yeah, like you said about the end times, if everyone started believing it's an illusion, I think that if we kept the justice system, even if everybody does believe that it is an illusion, we should still keep a justice system. Because obviously, look, we are, again, main point is, from what I can see, the main point is we are still open systems which do feel pain, regardless of the fact that we know free will is an illusion, right? So even if, again, like someone hits you, in a sense, you do know that this person like didn't choose to hit you. It was just their brain telling them to do this, right? But you still feel the pain, right? You still feel the pain of getting hit, and obviously you wouldn't. Your brain prefers not to get hit, right? So what we do as a society, we create a justice system in which all the brains, all the open systems can see that, look, if some kind of an action which is resembling hitting someone is, that open system is getting thrown into a jail, that will wire all of the open systems, because they are open systems. They can see that, hey, if I hit someone, I might get thrown into jail. So the brain starts learning that, hey, I should not start doing that. That's why, again, I keep talking about environments which emerge. They should have, let's say, good morals, in the sense that, from what I can see, that whatever preferences these open systems have, we should try to encode in the society that, look, if you try to break some of these rules, there are people who will throw you into jail or whatever. You will get punished as a, in a society. So these brains will start getting rewired to actually work on or start performing actions which are, let's say, preferable to an open system. Yeah,
But how long
for
till
that.
people start st stop like start questioning that? Like, what
Is
is
that
the
question
limit?
mark?
Whether these open systems are valid or not, in terms of the idea that free will is an illusion, people may start questioning that at some point in time.
Questioning what exactly?
That these open systems are flawed, given that free will is an illusion.
Yeah, well, open systems are flawed, but they are open to correction. That's the main point. Like neural network initially, when initialized, it's not the perfect system, but it learns over trial and error. It checks with a ground truth, from what I can see, is the preferability of an open system to, say, not get hit. And so you just keep checking, and again, open system meaning it's open to correction as well, and it's open to, let's say, the opposite of correction, degrading. So we want societies where the correction mechanism keeps working for open systems.
I think
Yeah.
what I spoke about, terms and conditions, are somewhat, I think, similar to what
All
you
right.
want. Yeah.
Yeah.
We can move on to the second question.
Yeah. So one more question which I had that again. So let's say if we everyone does again believe the current theory of free will that we don't have it, what do you think something like free will actually look like? What do you think that again, like a being having free will, what would it constitute? What do you think about that?
I mean, for me personally, I think if you have free will, that means that every time that you think is something that is not determined by whatever happened previously, and you don't think about time, actually what has happened in the past or what will happen in the future, and you make that decision or you do that action instead of all that. And when you do that, and whenever you make that free will decision, let's say, I think it might be more of a failure than a success, because when we think about the past and we have all these experiences, and that is why I say that determinism is much more better to at least understand what has happened incorrectly in someone's life, and that is why you're making that decision. If you have free will at every decision that you have, I think it would be a chaos across everywhere.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
yeah, and if you think about it, then and if you think about a multiverse where different actions leads to different timelines, it's another theory that we can talk about. But what I want to talk
In
about
many
is,
words, yeah.
and then what happens is that if you look at it as at a back end, at a eagle eye side, it tends to become more negative than a positive, because you don't know what the outcome would be, and it's just something happening without any reason.
Yeah, just to give one point which you can ponder on, something like free will could look like, say you make a decision right now in time, okay? And time obviously moves forward. Free will be something like, if I rewind the time of the universe and bring you again to the point where you made some decision,
Yes.
you actually chose something else. Because that would actually be something like free will. Because when you rewind the time and bring it back to some state, the state remains same even when the decision was taken initially, right? So if everything remains the same, how does one come to some different decision in the next time when you take the
But even
decision?
if you come to a
So,
different decision,
yeah.
but your new decision would be determined on the previous decision that you made.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying that if you rewind the time again, okay? So say right now you're choosing between some ice cream, okay? Okay, yeah, I'll just conduct one kind of an experiment. Just think of any city, both of you.
City.
Any city, don't say it, but just think of any city.
City.
Got it?
Yeah.
But
Got it. Got it. Yeah.
okay, so Mango, which city did you pick?
New York.
Okay, Milan.
Amsterdam.
Sorry?
Amsterdam.
Amsterdam. Okay. Both of you know that, let's say Los Angeles exists, right?
Yes.
So, why didn't you pick Los Angeles? Let's just start with Mank. Why did you pick that?
Right.
Did it come to your brain
No,
or
it
not
didn't.
come to your brain?
No, it didn't.
No, it didn't. Okay. Milind, why didn't you pick it? Did it not arise from?
It didn't occur to me.
It didn't occur. Okay. So, but you know that Los Angeles, a city exists named Los Angeles, right?
Yes.
And it could happen that, say, you were in Los Angeles. Then, if I asked you, what would you just think of any city? It may be that, yeah, because now you're in Los Angeles. So, you just, yeah, fine. Let me just pick Los Angeles. I'm just saying that, okay. So, now time has occurred since you made the decision to pick. What was it? New York, and you picked Amsterdam. So I
Yes.
want to say that if you rewind the time again to the state of the universe when you decided to pick, say, New York or Amsterdam, if now I rewind the time and say now you say some city like London, wouldn't that be weird, even though the universe has the same state, but there's a different output?
So that is what I'm saying. Do
Wouldn't that?
I, when I go back in time, do I know what I chose before or not?
No,
Yes.
you don't have any context of that. Yeah, you don't
Okay.
have any context of you actually remembering that you're going back in time. No, you don't have any context of that.
I think probably I would still, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I could have thought of something else, but
No,
probably.
but I'm asking, why do you think that you would have thought of something else? Even though the state of the universe, your neurons would have been in the same place
Same place,
exactly,
exactly, yeah.
yeah, point in time, and they would have fired in exactly the same same way because there's no change in the universe state. So that's a question. So that's why I'm saying that if something like that occurred, that I rewind the time and then I see you picking something like London, even though last time you had picked New York, that would, I think, constitute something like free will, from what I can see.
I do agree with
Even
you.
though it's the same, yeah.
So we're saying that the idea of free will is something that goes beyond the laws of physics. Like actually having free
That's
will,
why.
yeah. So
Right.
it doesn't
Go ahead.
consider the biological state or the physical state at all. It just transcends both of them.
Exactly. That's why I think that's why I put a religious context on it. Like something like free will, I think, could exist if a religious context is true. I don't know it's true. I'm not saying it's this is false or true. I'm just saying if something like a religious context is present, I think then yeah, free will and something like people picking different or a different decision making is happening. That's what I would see in a religious context, which would constitute, well, from what I can see.
So when you say about religion, do you look at religion in sort of a way that a higher entity exists? Or like, is it like totally?
Yeah, I mean, it could be a higher being could exist, or something like people have souls. People even say that even if people do have souls, I think still free will wouldn't exist. But I think no, I think if there's something like a soul present, which is something different from the biological body,
Yeah,
then I
it's
think it can be something which can make different decisions because it's not being bounded by physical reality.
yeah, so we're talking about transcending into the astral plane again when we talk about soul and all these things.
Even if
So
we have a soul, I
ultimately.
agree. I mean, if we even if we do have a soul, we are still bound to the biological factors that are there. And
Yeah, I'm just saying that soul can somehow override the decision your
I don't think
biological
they can. Even if we have a soul, let's say if we do, we are still bound. Like the soul can only make that decision while it's inside our biological body. And because it's bound by that, it will always make the same decision.
That's why free will such has such a mystic kind of mystique behind it, let's say, because people do say that even though you have a biological thing which is bound by physical
Yes,
reality,
exactly.
I'm not saying that this is true. I'm just giving you some context in which I think free will could exist. But yeah, even I do consider that fact that because there is cause and effect, so how is the cause and effect chain breaking due to a soul present? Yeah, I do get the argument though.
Yeah, I mean,
Even
my thinking of any soul or whatever is present, it's fine, but it's still confined by the biological body that it's in. And I mean, what I actually think is that we are still human. Even if we have a soul, every human has a soul. And because it's already predetermined for everyone, it doesn't mean that my soul is somewhat of I mean, some X gene is in this soul that it would, have that possibility of free will. No soul can have that possibility because then everybody would have free will, and then that is not possible. Because it's bound by the body. So even if a soul has it, the only way of showing it is through the human form, right? The biological form, and it cannot do it. Even if a soul has it, they don't have a possible way of showing it except the human body, which itself cannot transcend anything other than determinism. Then
Right, so
it cannot be.
the points which you made, people just say that, hey, we still don't know even 1% of the brain and how it works and how consciousness actually arises. We have no idea, so we can't be so sure. Like they say these kinds of things, so
I mean
that
that
we
is
can't be so
agreeable. I mean that is agreeable because we actually don't know how even
Right, that's
and subconscious
I'm just I'm just thinking that. Brain is something like brain isn't some kind of a preternatural or some kind of super entity, right? It's still some gooey stuff inside your skull, right? So how is it doing something magical? Which would be my response to something like people say that we don't know how the brain still functions. And I mean, I know that we don't know, but It's still based in physical reality, so I don't know how
Yeah.
it would do something magical or that. Yeah.
And physical state is deterministic at the end.
At
So,
the end.
yeah. So, yeah.
Cool. That
So
was
next question.
actually a good question. Yeah, let's go to the next question. Yeah.
So I think my questions basically had something along the lines of mostly the same thing, but they're kind of different variations which take on different conversations.
Yeah.
So again, my question was like, even do you think we should still act as people who have self-agency? Like, we should promote this thing that, look, maybe it is the case that we don't have free will, but hey, let's just act, okay? Like, we do have self-agency and we can choose, let's say, good or bad things, and we do have
Yeah.
the ability to do that. Do you think we should propagate that?
I mean, it depends on what kind of world do you want to live in. If you want to live in a, and it actually boils down to the same question, the red pill or the blue pill. Which pill do you want to take, right? If you want to live a life where you are happy, or do you want to live in a life which is authentic? If you can get the gist out of it, if you find facts much more interesting than just being happy or just being satisfied what you have. It depends on you what you want to do. And I don't feel it's a problem if you feel that every decision that you make is kind of free and you are making that decision. Because at some time, if it floats your board and if you are okay with it, at least it gives you that responsibility that at least whatever decision that you make will be accountable to you at least, and you will make okay-ish decision and not a very drastic and a wrong decision. Sometimes it can be helpful to actually, believe whatever you feel is fine rather than to go with the facts. I mean, for me, this actually correlates to the Matrix movie itself, where I remember Cypher was the one who went into the Matrix again and wanted to eat that steak. I think this is Matrix one that I'm talking about. So he chose happiness instead of authenticity, which Neo or all the other people were actually having. Yeah, right. So I think that is somewhere I believe it depends on everyone and what they are okay with. What do you think?
Milan?
So ultimately, you're saying that for your own mental well-being, you should discount the idea of free will and just choose to be in that system which
Not
started.
discount, not. I mean, look, there are some things of actually people say that rather than truth, fitness is a much more better way to go about stuff. So people might frame it in the way that, look, truth is that look, we don't actually have free will, but I'm just, for
Yeah.
now, let's just believe that. That truth is we don't have free will, but a more fit thing to do would be, in the context of fitness, would be that, hey, let's just still act as people who have the ability to choose, the ability to actually deliberate over should I do something good, should I do something bad, and then choose whatever they want. So yeah, that's yeah, go on down your point.
So again, it's like, if you want to be true to yourself, then you can't, right? It's like it's very contradictory to, I don't know, it seems very contradictory to me, since it's like you are choosing to settle for something when you have access to so much, right? Like, again, I always come to the decision that facts don't care about your feelings. So you're just choosing to
Yeah, but that's what.
go with your feelings because it just makes sense to you, right? Like you're happy in that very moment. But yeah, again, there are.
Not exactly, but yeah, okay. So I'm just saying that, again, if you put it in a fitness concept, like one example is there is truth out there that you can weaponize any kind of element, right? But do you think that we should be propagating that to everyone and every person? Would that be a fit thing to do, do you think?
Yeah,
Yeah, when.
I think yes, I agree with you that this knowledge of free will and whatever we are discussing maybe not be fit for everyone. Maybe they don't want to know it, and maybe it's not okay to even share with everyone sometimes, which they might feel threatened with about their whole life. As something like a knowledge about making a nuclear bomb, right? You don't want everybody to know it. I mean,
Yeah, I mean there are minds which there are open systems which are actually let's say not accustomed to let's say correcting. So yeah, it could be I that's why earlier I'd said that actually keeping contradictions in your mind could be a actually positive thing because you have the ability to deliberate over stuff, which kind of feels like you still have the it could be that the illusion
Illusion
gets
of
stronger
yeah,
that you have
exactly. You could have
absolutely.
illusion.
But contradiction, keeping contradictions in your help in your head maybe gives you a better perspective to make a decision. So maybe I think that keeping contradictions helps in the final analysis. It helps in the correction mechanism in your head.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it
I
makes
would
you
brain rot.
more rational in a sense.
No, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
From what I feel, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
It's a question of morality as well, right?
Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
it's about morality. Cool. Should I move on to my questions then?
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah. My first question, which is very similar to what we were actually discussing, Shubham. Your third question is very similar to my first question, which is free will or the concept of free will relative? So
Relative
somebody
to who, though?
relative to
Okay, yeah, go
people,
ahead.
just like we have a theory of relativity, and each person has their own perspective to it. Can free will be something that everybody perceives differently, and that is why it is very relative? And even if you think about Jordan Peterson, or we were talking about Sam Harris or Daniel Dennett, everybody has their own opinions about it. If for everyone it's kind of relative, yes, there are few focal points which each of them attach to, which are similar to all of them. But then again, there would be some other people who are proponents of some other focal points, and then they talk about that. And but what I feel is that you keep on having these debates, but I think for everyone it's a relative thing where everyone has their own opinions. What do you guys have to say about that?
Right. Milind, do you want to take that first?
Yeah. So thinking about that, it's like everyone has their own preconceived notions about free will, right?
Yeah.
But again, it's like for me, free will is like having total control over every single thing that you do.
Yeah.
So even if you say that everyone has a different perspective to it, how do we decide that whose opinion is correct? Like, who has the best idea about free will, or who has the best version about free will? So how do we differentiate those ideas? Like, is there a benchmark, which there isn't?
Yeah,
There definitely isn't a
yeah. Similar to, I think exactly similar to how we even find out speed of something, we find it relative to something, and that is why when we talk about this concept of free will, we talk to it as relative to us, for as individuals or as a part of a group. When we talk about free will, and it kind of is relative to what we are thinking, but it might be very different to what somebody else is thinking, right?
Your free will definitely, the notion of relativity doesn't really factor in for me when we talk about free will. Like, it can't be relative. This is something that's ultimate, right? So when you are trying to bind it with relativity, then you're again making it limited, which ultimately makes it something that is predetermined, right? And you're moving towards determinism again, rather than going towards free will when you talk about relativity and people have different ideas about free will and all these things. So again, we're moving in the wrong direction again when we bring in relativity into the picture about our ideas of free will. I don't know, it doesn't make sense to me. Like,
Don't
doesn't
think
gel
what
together
you are
for me.
thinking. There would be some other person on the internet who would just disagree with you. And maybe he has the same facts and whatever you're talking about. And he has some other notion about it. And then isn't it relative to see
Well,
what you had, what you are feeling as free will, what you describe free will as? And what you're talking about is because what you have read about it, what you have thought about it, because of your personal experiences that you have gone through, and the discussions that we have had in the past or whoever you have had that discussion about free will with. And that is how it is defined for you, that this is free will for you. Whereas I am totally sure that Shubham has something else in his mind as description for free will. And for me also, it's something else that we are talking. Okay, there are scientific descriptions to free will, but I think that even people who are talking about free will, very well-known people who are much more, well-known from either three of us, are like Jordan Peterson or Sam Harris. All these people are anyways, clashing every day, and for them also, it's relative.
Yeah, that's the problem. Free will is not bound by that cause and effect relationship. As in, again, the point Shubham brings up. If you go back in time and try to do, free will means like we could have done it differently, right? The ability to do it differently in some point of time or some point of event. So it's like it's not bound by that cause and effect relationship, right? So again, when you're saying that different people can have different notions about free will, it doesn't really make sense. Like it's not something that's bound by relativity for me. It doesn't
I
really
mean,
make
it is,
sense.
I mean, because everyone has their own, everybody has different opinions. Then it is the
Yeah,
notion of free will.
then it's not free will, right? Because you are associating it with the internal factors that a person might have. But free will is something that's independent of both the things, the external factors or the internal factors or your preconceived
Yeah, so that
notions.
we have already discussed that
Free
communism is
will,
there.
yeah.
What I'm talking about is the notion of free will that everyone has their own, in their mind, that is relative for everyone.
Okay, like I would like to hear more about this. Like, how do you come upon this? Like, it doesn't really make sense. Like, it doesn't really sit in right with the idea of free will. Like, having different notions about free will would make it more believable
Yeah,
or
I didn't say it is believable or what is correct,
way
what you think is correct or what I think is correct. But what I feel is that the whole notion of it is relative. Shubham, what do you
I really don't care.
Yeah, so actually trying to pass this, what happens that actually people do get into conflicts of what they
Yeah.
believe free will to be. That's actually a major problem when people do talk about free will. So that's why I in the start try to make a foundation for what free will is. Again, that speed is relative because you actually have to put a point and then start checking what the according to that point. So again, everyone has to agree on what the point is, right?
Yeah,
So
yeah.
again, that's why in the starting of this discussion, I was trying to put up a foundation that both of you would agree about what something like free will could be or what it is. So yeah, relative, I mean, yeah, I think relative and having opinion about something may be a bit maybe two different things, I think, from what I can see, but I'm rambling a bit. What was
So
your initial
yeah,
question
so what
about?
it's just a normal thing that the notion of free will was relative amongst people. But I understood your point, and I think yeah, I think what I can think of is that if you have context of a point, which you were also saying that you made that context very clear while we were discussing in the beginning. So the context, if we have the same context and we have all the points together at one focal point, thinking about free will, then yes, that is the, then it is not relative. Then obviously we will come to one decision itself because we are discussing on one focal point. But because there are so many people across the world, not everyone.
Yeah, okay, I got your point. Fine. I'll just take these three people which you mentioned, like just to keep going on the relative point that see Sam Harris, he actually from what I can see is Sam Harris in a way just can't even see what something like free
Yeah,
will could
yeah.
look like, okay? So he has
I
that
agree.
kind of a notion. Jordan Peterson, I think he's not on the level of Sam Harris, in the sense that not intellectually, I'm saying on the level that Sam Harris is on in the
Yeah.
discussion. He's, I think, two or three layers up in the sense that Jordan Peterson is, from one video which I watched, he basically talks about the what it was called. Yeah, your what your brain does is Your brain, when it wants to do some action, it puts basically all those actions into some kind of queue, right? So it puts it into a queue, and but yeah, so when you start doing the action, those actions which are in the queue just start going on, and you after that, when that happens, yeah, sure, you don't have free will, because when the actions are queued, they just take off. But I think he's not on the conceptual level. I'm not, again, I'm not talking about intellectual level. I'm on the conceptual level of what Sam Harris is. So, and again, Dan Dennett, what, again, from what I can see, from what I read about him, it was actually pretty long back, but he has a more compatibilism kind of an approach that, look, the thing that people, look, we can. It does look like we can make decisions, right? We can deliberate over whether we want vanilla or chocolate or whatever. It does look like that. So that alone should suffice, or should be enough to say that, look, we do in a way have free will, from what I can see, his point is. So again, yeah, it does come into the discussion of what people actually believe free will to be. So again, just recapping, Sam Harris is so deep in that point that he just can't see what free will would look like. Jordan Peterson is on the conceptual level that, look, you can decide what you want to do, but the decision, like the decision queuing, when it's done, it's done. Like after that, you can't change it. So he is kind of a hybrid approach that, yeah, you can like decide to do something, but when it's in action in midway, you can't change it or something like that. And again, Dan Dennett has the kind of a compatibilism approach that, look, it does look like we can decide on stuff, and I think that should be enough.
But coming back to the idea of compatibilism, I think we can discount that idea completely because, again, it talks about the compatibility between determinism and free will, which doesn't make sense because those two terms are contradictory. So
I
even
think, sorry to stop you there, but the thing is, for what doesn't make sense for you doesn't mean that doesn't make sense for everybody. And that is why everything, even if you're talking about, is very relative when you say something doesn't make sense, because it doesn't make sense to you, but generally it's not the way for everyone. And that is why we cannot, just say it extremely that this is wrong. And just because
But the thing is, when you talk about free will, determinism and free will are two different things. And compatibilism talks about the compatibility between the two. It just doesn't sit right. It doesn't make sense, right? Compatibilism is, it's your internal factors that decide free will. But the thing is, through it also doesn't discount the idea of determinism, which says there's a cause and effect relationship. Because the thing is, even if it's your internal factors that are driving you towards making a free will decision, the chain of causation will always trace that internal factor back to something external. So it's all determined, right? It's deterministic.
Hold that thought. So the second question that I have probably will be questioning that only, and maybe we can further this discussion. So it's not of a question, much more of a theory. And you hold that thought. I want to come back to it. So what I thought about, determinism and free will. So what I thought is, let's imagine that there is a cylindrical bottom. It's a cylindrical rod that is there. That is one thing. And we have different tops that we can put on that cylindrical cylinder, right? So if it's a cylindrical rod, and on that we can put different tops. So different tops are like pens. If you put one top, that makes it a pen. If you put another top, then it makes a knife. Then we put another top, it probably makes a crayon or something like that, right? So if we have, so what I think is the rod itself, how heavy it is and what it is, itself is determined a determinism where, because of our past and everything, it makes us do certain, like it has that ability to have that weight. And the tops that we choose are the actions that we want to do with that rod itself. So what I think at the end of everything, when we are making a decision, that because of what we want as a result is why we'll choose what top we want or what action we want, and that is how we'll choose that top, and then we'll use our deterministic values that we have learned through all the past and everything, and then use that weapon or whatever we have created to do what we feel is right.
So you're saying you're doing what you feel is right, but is that free will? It's not, right? You're still a slave of your own desires, right?
So if you
Like you still chose to put that different shaped top on top of it, right? You're still bound by your own desire to do it, right? So is that free will again? Was that decision made of your own free will?
Yeah,
you're bound by your own desires. You
so
have the compulsion to do
desire,
it.
Your desire is itself yours, right? So your will is what it was your will what you chose, even if it is because of a desire.
Yeah. So you're saying it's your brain chemistry which made you do it?
Maybe, or maybe it's just that I wanted some kind of a result. And at that point,
if it's a maybe, then what else could it be? If it's not your brain chemistry, that's ultimately making you make that decision.
I mean, it can be anything, right? It can be your past, which then makes it a point of a determinism. And if it is not...
So you're saying it's your experience.
Yeah, so that is what I'm saying. See, if we have that past with us, we have that rod with us, we know that we will use that at the end, and that is what we'll come back to, and that is what we'll always use. But at a juncture...
So you're saying there was a cause?
Yeah, but at a juncture...
So you're saying there was a cause? Ultimately, there was a cause.
Yeah.
We're not talking about emotions here. So there was a cause and effect relationship, right?
Yeah, let me...
So it's determinism. Free will.
Let me complete. So what happens is that at that junction, we thought about something and what will be okay while... Okay, we made that decision. While making that decision, do we have a free will? Something very similar, like... it can be wrong, but what I think is that sometimes people have that urge to, you know, commit suicide. They see a knife and that impulsive thing comes in their mind that maybe they should, you know, cut their wrist. But if that is that impulsion, that is one thing. Secondly, if they don't do it, wasn't that their will, not free will, but that their will, that they didn't want to do it.
Yeah,
yes.
So again, actually, that point is that in a way is true. But it was your brain's will.
You're correct. Yes. So your free will, as we talk about, is determined by your brain's conscious saying that this is fine or not. And
but if it's determined, then it's not free will.
I didn't say.
You don't have
but
any
what I say
it.
Is that I'm not talking about free will.
What exactly are you
so what I'm
trying
to
use?
Say is that what decisions at that time we are making. Maybe there are times where we make that, you know, we for example, there are predetermined environment with everyone. For example, people in slums have that normal life that they live, and they are bound by the societal and economical pressures that they are facing, but there are few people who come over it and have that mentality of, you know, getting over it and maybe helping these people out from slums, or maybe just living their own life, you know, better than they were living when they were living in a slum, right? What my point is, even though that person would have a friend which had the same environment, which had everything same, but why didn't he or she thought of it what this person did who got successful and the person who didn't get successful? So my action...
Oh, brain chemistry. Yeah.
So my action...
Yeah.
Had that thing that I thought that I want to become successful. I worked hard towards that. I didn't give a shit how my environment was. And because of that, I got out of it. Whereas somebody succumbed to it. He thought, okay, this is the only thing that I'm going to have my own whole life. And I'll not do anything. And that action, does that action, I get it that it probably is not 100% free will, but can it be even 2% of a free will where he thought at a millisecond of a time that let's do it and that is why he did it? Let's say just 2% of it was free will. And the other 98% was actually deterministic because he wanted to get out of this that environment, and that is why he did what he did and he got successful.
The thing is, how would you quantify that free will that you're talking about? Even if, like, it would still have a cause, right? Like, it's like the ability to do whatever you want can hardly be called freedom, right? If you can't freely choose what it is that you want, you're getting it? You can't call it free will. You're trying to quantify it now. So, like, it's still, even your impulses would still have a cause, right? At the end, because it's a part of the biological world, which is ultimately a part of the physical reality and which is determined.
No, see,
So, how could you even
how is your,
quantify it?
listen, a cause leads to what? Yes.
Consequence. There are
Can
consequences of, like, there's
sorry.
something.
Effect, basically. A
What?
cause gives an effect.
Yeah,
Effect. Cause effect.
Can you judge that effect? Your brain can judge that effect every time.
Yeah, that's the error-correcting mechanism going on.
Exactly, exactly. So you do that action thinking that it is correct because it's determined. I agree. But there are places where you take that chance and you say, okay, let's just do something else. I agree. Okay, maybe that is also deterministic to have a different view than others. But at that point, it doesn't it make that person an exception to think out of what everybody else was thinking?
Yeah, it's basically an exception, but it could also be that, and from what I can see, it is that he could have had a, let's say, more ambitious brain, if you want to call it. So he had that strains of, he had, let's say, those ambitious neurons which do fire at that point in time in which he made the decision.
Yeah,
So, but that again still comes into the realm of
determined.
determinism. Yeah, I just you just can't, from what I can see, you just can't ex escape the determinism trap. Yeah,
Yeah,
from what I can
I
see.
mean, what I feel is that even if I am saying there is 1% one person free will, I see that even if somebody thinks of having free will or they believe that they have free will, I always think that it is always surrounded or has that boundary of deterministic values or conditions or whatever you want to talk about. That even if you are thinking that your 1%, whatever you have made a decision about, is your free will, that is never possible if you don't think about the boundaries of determinism across that free will decision that you have made. For example, if you think that you want to do an education degree, you are deterministic about the things that might come after it and what you have done before that.
Yeah, it's all determined in the end, right? So it's not under your control exactly. So again, there's no
Also,
free
what I
will at
think,
all.
even though this will be opposite to what I was just saying, but for example, somebody made the decision or they had a craving of pizza. Now, the thing is, if somebody didn't know that pizza existed, then they would not have the thought of having pizza. That means that they will never have free will because they know that pizzas tastes good, and determined on that thing, they had a craving of pizza.
I think Shubham, he's gently creeping into that alley of compatibilism for me, trying to balance both things and try to go there in some
Yeah,
way.
compatibilists basically say they say that whatever we're talking about, the determinism track, they somehow say that no, you're missing the mark. That they say that determinism and you feeling that you can make some kind of decision, that you can believe in both, and it doesn't have to be somehow logically incoherent. I just it doesn't
I think
all I can see.
determinism. I think determinism actually exists. That is what I actually. I think that is what
Okay,
there is because Yeah, because you will not have a thought if you have never seen, eaten, or talked about it to someone about pizza, you will never have that thought that you want to have pizza. Obviously, you will not have
Right.
the this like you would not, but the thing is, something like now if someone says no, but somebody came up with the idea of pizza, and that was an invention that
That in a sense is different, yeah,
no, but
because
that
they
wasn't
came up
deterministic.
with,
They
yeah, in a way
experimented.
they
They
did, yeah.
experimented on it, right? They thought, okay, if I have eaten cheese before, I have eaten bread before, I've eaten whatever you put on
Right.
there,
You can
before what
just
it is.
combine it.
And let me just combine it. I have this oven, maybe I just try it out. And that is actually how pizza was made. So if you read about it, that is
Yeah.
how it actually was made. And so yeah, I mean it's determined by whatever is going on in the physical universe that you are in. So we can move on to the third question if everybody's okay with it.
No, I'm not. Okay,
So my
yeah,
third question is,
go
my third question is that my third question is that there is no question, meaning that it was my free will to make a third question, but I didn't make it. So what is, was it determined all along, or was it my free will not to make this question?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Is that question? Go ahead, Milan.
No, I won't.
No,
I'm still stuck. I'm still stuck on the idea of comparativism and my how mind is just leaning towards that.
Yeah.
I'm still bugging about that. So yes, yeah,
I mean the time is 4:20, so I mean I agree that Milan might be thinking, or maybe, you know. Yeah, Shubham, what's your view on it?
yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a good question. That's only that's my view on it.
Yeah, I mean, okay, yeah, let's be very serious. So the last question, and let's end this podcast on that point, is that which pill do you want to take? Just your answer on that.
I think I'll take the red pill.
Milan, what about you?
Definitely the red pill.
In a sense, I can't get out of the fact that
Yes.
I want, I mean, in a way, I'm forced to take the red pill, like it's kind
Yeah,
of
I
nuts
mean,
enough.
after having this discussion, there's no point of taking the blue pill, because that just erases this whatever 1.5 hour or whatever we had this discussion for. You know, it erases and gets us back to that point where we never even thought about it. Because we are thinking about it, the paradox is that we already had the red pill before even entering into this podcast.
Yeah, our future selves did have it.
Fifth dimensional beaks for the win, bro. Cool. Thank you guys. Thank you so much. I think
Definitely.
Milind is still thinking about something. But we can
Goodbye.
end that on this high note. Thank you so much, Shubham, for joining us this week. And I
Yeah, great.
will
Great to be
welcome you to any other new
here.
podcasts or episodes that we have. And yeah, any parting note, Milind?
Yeah, just to all our listeners. So thanks a lot for listening in. And you can check out our handles on Instagram, Twitter, and other social media outlets as well. And our podcast is hosted on Spotify. Our handle is Thinking Out Aloud. It's also hosted on Anchor and Google Podcasts as well. So yeah, please do check it out.
Yeah.
And just an ending on an ending note, if you think you can, like, this is for all the listeners again. So if you think you can pause this podcast and stop listening of your own free will, but if you're still listening, well, even that's determined too. So yeah, I would just like
And
to end
while
on
you're
that note.
thinking on that, please share it across to your friends also. That is deterministic. We told you about it. And it came in your subconscious now, and you're clicking on the share button. Thank you.
We have
Have
embedded
a
that idea
Thank
into
you,
your
everyone. Thank you for
brain.
joining. Bye
Yeah.
bye. Take care.